Welcome to American Indian Living, a program developed by the Native Education and Health Initiative to improve and enhance the health of people throughout the Native communities. American Indian Living is hosted by Dr. David DeRose, a board-certified specialist in both internal medicine and preventive medicine. Dr. DeRose has a wide range of experience with Native health issues, and he's ready today to help you learn more about your health. Here's Dr. DeRose.
Welcome to American Indian Living. Dr. David DeRose, today we're looking at a very important subject about getting better access to health care in Indian country. We're focusing on the Affordable Care Act and whether that brings up images of something very encouraging or distressing images. I know there's a range of emotions that are associated with ACA, but we've got some very good news, especially for those of you tuning in from various parts of Indian country. To help us with the dialogue is Ashley Tuomi. Ashley, it's great to have you with us today.
Thank you.
Ashley, you are someone who's well known in many circles throughout Indian country, but for those of our listeners who don't know you, tell us a little bit about your background as well as your current affiliation.
Yes, my name is Ashley Tuomi. I am a member of the Confederate Tribes of Grand Ronde from Oregon. But I'm currently residing in Detroit, Michigan, where I am the Executive Director of American Indian Health and Family Services. And in addition to being the Executive Director, I am also one of our navigators for the Affordable Care Act.
So you have been involved pretty much in the thick of things with the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, and you've been seeing some things that, as we spoke in a venue some months ago, we were actually together at the American Public Health Association meetings in 2013. You were telling me I thought some very positive things about what you saw happening, and yet at the same time, some disappointment perhaps that the word wasn't getting out in Indian country. As we look at what's happened into the beginning of 2014 and beyond, how do things stand with your assessment of the impact of ACA in Native American health needs?
Yeah, so, you know, I see it especially important when we look at urban Indian health care. Mm-hmm. Our clients that come here, you know, they have access to health care, but they only have access to care that is provided within all of our walls. So if they need something like an x-ray or to see a specialist or to have surgeries, there's no coverage for them if they're living in an urban setting. So we really see the Affordable Care Act as a great opportunity to really offer that full coverage to our clients. And that can be done either through purchasing a plan through the marketplace or depending on what state they live in, also with the Medicaid expansion. And we really see those as key opportunities not only for the clients, but also to improve our ability to provide care within our facility.
Well, let's step back a little bit. We want to speak in detail about ACA and how more Native Americans can take advantage of those provisions. But let's talk a little bit about your particular location there in the Detroit area. Tell us a bit more about what you do there and what kind of services are available.
Okay. So we are one of the Indian Health Service-funded urban clinics. There are many of them in the major cities throughout the U.S. And we do provide basic medical care, behavioral health, substance abuse, health education and nutrition services to all Indian Health Service-qualified natives. And then we also see non-natives at our clinic as well. And as I mentioned, you know, our services are a little bit different than what you would see on a reservation. The Indian Health Service clinics and the reservations have something that's called contract health service dollars mm-hmm. that do help pay for those services outside of the facility. The urban clinics don't have access to that funding at all. So it's only what we can provide within our facility.
So let's say someone comes to your facility there in Detroit. Let's say they're from the Navajo Nation, so they're far from home. And before ACA, you identified some serious problem that needed surgery. Was one option for them to go back, I mean, if they had the resources, to go back to the Navajo Nation and have treatment rendered there?
Yeah, and I think, you know, that we have done that. I've seen that, especially when I worked in Los Angeles, you know, we would see people going back to their reservations to get care. It can become really difficult if you live in a state that doesn't have any of the Indian Health Service's hospitals either. So we don't even have an IHS hospital close by to refer people to, so that's not an option either. But you do see people going back to their reservations. I know there's a lot of stories about women going back to their reservations right before they're supposed to be delivering their babies, just so that they can make sure they have adequate care.
Mm-hmm. So most people in Indian country are somewhat familiar, at least with how the health system works for them. We do have a lot of non-native listeners, and they're often surprised because they say, well, I thought the government provided Native Americans with all their health needs. Can you just explain a little bit more about how the system works and some of the challenges for urban Indians?
Yeah, so urban Indians as a whole only get a little bit less than 1% of the entire Indian Health Service's budget. So we're working with very small amounts of funding. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, that funding goes towards providing what we can within our facility. So there is no funding for any kind of care outside.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you come to us with a broken arm, we have to find resources to be able to get you out to another facility to get an x-ray. And that often means paying out of pocket or finding a facility that might have some free services, but we aren't able to help pay for those at all.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes really difficult when we have to refer for services. You know, other doctors, they can just write that referral and kind of go on to the next patient, where in the urban setting, we have to, you know, spend some extra time figuring out where we can actually refer that patient to where they can get low cost or free care if possible.
Now, Ashley, your situation in the Detroit area, some might think might be particularly challenging because of the economy in your state as a whole and in the Detroit region. Is that true? Have you seen changes in even the availability of free services or other things to help your clients?
Yeah, you know, there's a large amount of people who need access to that low cost or free health care. So we are fighting against everyone who has either lost their jobs or lost coverage for many different reasons. And so you have a bigger pool of people who now need those resources as well. So where in the past, when things were a little bit better, it might have been easier to find care. Now you have, you know, 3/4 of your population in your city needing access to health care.
Mm-hmm. Ashley, one of the issues that, of course, we hear discussed a lot when it comes to scarce resources is the return on investment of preventive services. And yet the challenge historically has been, at least in many segments of the population, that people often don't seem to take advantage of preventative services because they say, well, I'm healthy. Why do I need those things right now? I know your clinic is doing quite a bit with prevention. Can you tell us a little bit about what you've been doing and how receptive Native Americans in the Detroit area have been to those kind of services?
We definitely really believe in the power and the importance of prevention. So we do a lot of screenings in our facility. So we do a lot of the cancer screenings, pap smears, and we're really pushing colorectal cancer screening and mammograms for breast cancer. But we're also screening for other things like depression and suicide, because those are important factors to assess in someone's health as well. And then in addition to that, in addition to screening, we're offering a lot of services for them. So they can come see a nutritionist, they can get personal meal plans, personal exercise plans, and then we're also offering other programs like cooking classes. We have free exercise classes 5 days a week, everything from Zumba to walking groups to chair volleyball. So we have activities for all ages. And we also have a youth program that really focuses on prevention as well, whether that's from, you know, physical health, again, to mental health, and even looking at, you know, preventing substance abuse in our youth. and starting it at a young age so that we're not dealing with that later in their lives.
One of the real challenges, Ashley, I know in the urban population, is really knowing even who the Native Americans are, where they're at, and getting the word out about the availability of services. Have you found that to be especially challenging in the Detroit area?
Yes, and I think I've seen that in, you know, a lot of the urban areas where, you know, typically you have pockets of other races.
Mm-hmm.
The American Indian population seems to be a lot more scattered, so you can't just go find the one place where they all hang out. And in Detroit, we actually serve a 7-county area. So it could take well over an hour, you know, in each direction to get out to all of our service areas. So it can be really difficult to provide that outreach and let people know that we're here. I've done a few different things in the last couple years. We did a little clip on the news channel, and we found a couple people who were like, oh, we didn't know you existed. And, and even through this Affordable Care Act, people have called the 1-800 number, and they've been referred to us since we're a navigator, and they never knew we existed, and they had qualified for services here.
Okay.
So we really try to take advantage of those opportunities.
So from your perspective, for those running urban health clinics, do you have any words of wisdom, things that, in addition to like the news clip, other things that have worked especially well for identifying people, helping them to realize that you're actually there?
We've also really been just really a big push on social media, has been a great outlet for us in reaching both our Native and our non-Native community members. It's something that's really easy to share information and have them share that as well. And so we've really taken advantage of that and really just take advantage of, you know, every opportunity that you have to get your name out there.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea at this point how many Native Americans and, say, a given year that you actually serve out of your clinic?
So we have about 900 to 1,000 that are active clients of ours.
Mm-hmm.
And when we look at the census data for the 7-county area, there's over 47,000 American Indians and Alaska Natives.
Wow.
So we definitely have a lot more to outreach to. And even if, you know, they have their own doctors or, you know, their own providers, getting the word out about all the other services that we provide, like the cultural services and the sweat lodges and the ceremonies and all these other great activities that are still available for them, even if they want to go to their own doctor.
Tell us, for those who may be in the Detroit area or may have relatives there, how someone would contact you or your organization.
So the best way to contact us is, you know, by calling our office and learning about the different programs that we have, or also the Facebook is really one of our great resources, and our website as well. And if they're interested in, you know, getting weekly emails, we have an email blast that goes out every week with all the details of everything that's going on in our agency. So there's a lot of ways for people to find out what's going on here at our organization.
Great. Ashley, can you give us some contact information?
Yeah, sure. So our phone number is 313-846-6030, and you can find us online at www.aihfs.org.
Okay, so break that down for us. AIHFS, what does that stand for?
American Indian Health and Family Services.
Okay, so the initials, American Indian Health and Family Services, AIHFS.org.
Yeah.
Tell me if I've got the phone number right. 313 area code, 846-6030.
Yep, that's it.
Ashley, we've got to step away just for a minute. We're going to be coming back more with Ashley Tuamy. Ashley, is sharing with us some exciting information that can make a difference as far as your health and the health of those you love, whether they're in the Detroit area or not. We've got some great insights into the Affordable Care Act, things that can help you, help your family, help your tribe get more health benefits, more health resources available. You want to stay tuned because we've got more coming up on today's edition of American Indian Living. I'm Dr. DeRose. Don't go away.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
Today's American Indian Living radio program is sponsored in part by Wimar Center of Health and Education. Located in the foothills of Northern California's Sierra Mountains, Wimar is home to the Residential New Start Lifestyle Program that helps people of all races address diabetes, heart disease, obesity, and related conditions. To further assist Native Americans with their health, Wimar produces a wealth of free resources that can be accessed on their website at newstartclub.com. To learn more about how Wimar can change your life, you can call 1-800-525-9192. The number again is 1-800-525-9192. Or you can access them on the web at newstartclub.com. Again, that's newstartclub.com.
Some important social statements by United States citizens today on policy.
To be a good American, you've got to like people, share things, and not scream at people. And you should also help them, and then you can share at them.
A statement on historical tradition and our form of government.
I love America because it got government full of people, and full of people, and full of people.
A statement on down-to-earth American idealism.
I like living in America because it means freedom. It means that you can do most stuff you want as long as it doesn't, like, hurt anybody, and you have to work hard to keep it.
America, a statement in summary.
I love America because everybody's equal. And when you play with other kids and they dunk you, you can dunk them back.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back to American Indian Living. Dr. David DeRose with Ashley Tuomi. Ashley is the Executive Director of American Indian Health and Family Services in the Detroit area. She's been sharing with us some about what they do for urban Native Americans in that area. But we're going to be talking now more specifically about the Affordable Care Act. And Ashley, as we launch into that subject, I find that a lot of people think, well, everybody knows about the ACA, but can you just walk us through a little bit of the basics just to make sure everybody's on the same page?
Yes, definitely. And, you know, we do events every weekend and are in many different venues. And
as you can hear, we had some serious problems with electrical interference in the very first part of my discussion with Ashley. So for the next couple of minutes, we're resorting to a rough transcript of what Ashley shared. I'll just be relating to you some of the key points that she made, and then we'll go back to our very compelling dialogue. First of all, Ashley made a special point to remind everyone that the open enrollment period for the Affordable Care Act ends on March 31st, 2014. For this reason, actually, this program was put on a fast track so that you'd be able to listen to it well before that deadline. Although the marketplace only is operational through March 31, there are other opportunities for Native Americans to take advantage of these provisions, and Ashley will explore that later in the program when we resume our dialogue. Some other important points. It's really important for everyone to realize there is a mandate for everyone to enroll in the ACA program. Now, you can get around that individual mandate if you meet the definition of a Native American. And in order to qualify for that exemption, you have to be enrolled in a federally recognized tribe or part of the Alaska Native Claims Settlement shareholder status in Alaska. However, there are some other provisions where you can meet the ACA definitions of Native. This could include being eligible to receive services from an Indian Health Service facility, from a tribal health center, or from an urban health clinic like the one Ashley represents in the Detroit area. She went on in this segment that you're not able to hear to mention a special concern in the Detroit area because of their proximity to Canada. Many people with Canadian First Nations backgrounds do not qualify for the ACA exemption, and as a result, they do have this mandate to enroll in a program. Having said all this, if you're listening and you say, well, I'm exempt, I meet those criteria, you still have to fill out an exemption form. And Ashley's team in Detroit and other urban Indian health clinics are helping a lot of people right now do this. You have to apply for that exemption, and once you do, you'll get an exemption number that then makes that exemption official. However, Ashley made quite a plea that if you're Native American or an Alaska Native, that you don't just immediately think the exemption route is the best way to go. There are some excellent benefits for individuals who meet the definition of Native American. For example, whereas someone who does not have Native roots, the cheapest plan that they qualify may have something like a $10,000 deductible, whereas Native Americans, especially if they're below 300% of the federal poverty level, can qualify for the same plan with no copay and no deductible. If those terms are confusing to you, stay tuned, because when Ashley and my conversation resumes, we actually discuss those very definitions later in the program, so you don't want to miss that. Finally, one additional point that Ashley made in that material that we couldn't air, and that is this. Even if you're not Native, if you're making insufficient funds, you can also qualify for an exemption. For example, if the cheapest program is more than 8% of your income, you also can qualify to be exempt under the ACA provisions. Well, those were the high points of Ashley's early comments with me that we had some technical problems with. Now we return to our recorded conversation.
So that's a really great reason to really look at getting into the health insurance.
So basically, you've been talking with us about this exemption for Native Americans, and sometimes on this show, we'll use a variety of expressions interchangeably because we have people listening from throughout Indian country. We have people of Canadian, Native American background. Sometimes they'll refer to themselves as Aboriginal or First Nation. And yet you were making a distinction of First Nation and Native American. Can you help us see through your eyes why those terms are different?
So it really comes down to, you know, how the laws are written. And unfortunately, when the Affordable Care Act definition was created, they were just thinking about, you know, the federally recognized tribal members and or the Alaska corporations and their rights to health care. And I think you see that a lot, too, with Indian Health Services being a federally funded program. They don't provide resources for individuals who come from tribes in other countries like Canada. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of have to deal with that a lot, especially, you know, in Detroit being so close to the Canadian border and having so many First Nations or Aboriginals that have lived and grown up in their entire lives here on the U.S. side. And so although they have the dual citizenship, you know, they don't have all of the access to things like Indian Health Services, being that it's a U.S. federally funded program.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of crosses over into the Affordable Care Act as well. So that makes them not eligible for the exemption and not eligible for the special privileges that are a part of the Affordable Care Act for federally recognized tribal members.
And so when you're speaking about an exemption, it's an exemption to even enter into the program because there's a requirement that everyone have insurance, or is it a little bit broader than that?
Yeah, it's an exemption so that you don't have to pay that fine if you don't have the insurance.
Mm-hmm. But what I hear you saying is most Native Americans, at least those that you're seeing, would probably benefit by taking advantage of the insurance options.
Right, yeah, especially with, you know, the fact that they can get into healthcare plans without co-pays and deductibles. Some of the people that we have been assisting here have gotten health insurance for 23 cents a month, and that's with no co-pays or deductibles.
How much?
23 cents a month.
23 cents a month?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people like that, or that's just the record that you've taken note of?
I mean, that's just, you know, people that are definitely more closer to about 100 and between 100 and 133% of the federally poverty level. So they're qualifying, you know, and looking at the cheapest plan. And like I mentioned, a non-Native person that would want to purchase that plan would have as high as a $10,000 deductible,
mm-hmm.
where now you have this American Indian coming in, getting that same plan, paying the same price, but not having the copay or the deductibles attached to it.
So the big message that I hear you giving us, Ashley, in this segment is if you're a Native American and you've not already taken advantage of this open enrollment period, you need to do that as soon as possible.
Well, and actually, if you are American Indian, Alaska Native, federally recognized, or from Alaska, you can actually enroll after the open enrollment period as well. That's one of the few populations that doesn't have to stay within that one small open enrollment period. So they can still enroll in April and May and June and continuing throughout the year. So there still are opportunities even if they don't meet the March 31st deadline. But again, we have to really stress that that is only for federally recognized tribal members or from the Alaska Corporation. We serve a lot of people here who are still eligible for Indian Health Services based on descendancy,
mm-hmm.
but those individuals are not eligible for those same benefits. So again, we have a lot of different definitions of what it means to be Native in terms of the Affordable Care Act. So we really stress people, if you don't know where you fall, you know, to at least give us a call or call your tribal office or your urban clinic if you're with someone to really figure out where you are in the whole definitions and what your responsibilities and what your deadlines or the different aspects are.
So Ashley, let's say someone's listening right now from one of our affiliates in Tennessee, and they say, well, there are probably services out here. I know there's a large Cherokee population, they say, but I've from, you know, different tribal background, my roots are out west. Can I get on the phone and call Detroit, or are you going to say, our services are just for this region that we service?
We're only serving people who live in the Southern County area around Detroit. But if they do call, we will try to help find them a facility that might be closer to them. They can also check out the Indian Health Service website where they list all the centers. You can put in your address and find the closest center as well. We have pointing people towards that as well.
Well, I know for some people who are tuning in today, all of these details may be a little bit dizzying, but we're going to be coming back with Ashley and breaking this down even more, giving you some more insights and encouragement that there really are options out there that can really make a big difference for you and your family and your extended tribe, for that matter. You're listening to Dr. David DeRose, Ashley Tuomi, the Executive Director of American Indian Health and Family Services in the Detroit area, is my guest. She's staying with us for the remainder of today's show. I encourage you to do the same because we've got a lot more great information coming up. Stay tuned for more. I'm Dr. DeRose.
American Indian Living will continue in a moment. If you have questions or comments about today's pre-recorded broadcast, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673.
America's veterans have served our country in both war and peace.
It's because of people like you that we are free.
My class was learning about war and how hard it is.
I wanted to do something to let them know how I feel.
Now there is a way to thank them for helping keep America free. Log on to thankyouveterans.org and type a personal message of thanks.
Dear Dad, I've recently come to understand how important your service to America was, and I just wanted to say thank you.
There are 26 million veterans living in America today, from World War II to Afghanistan and Iraq.
We carry our experiences inside. It's nice to have someone say thanks.
Let a veteran know you appreciate their service. Log on to thankyouveterans.org, a public service of Paralyzed Veterans of America.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE, 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back to American Indian Living. Dr. David DeRose with Ashley Tuomi. Ashley, the Executive Director of American Indian Health and Family Services in the Detroit area. She's helping us to realize, regardless of where you find yourself today, that if you have Native American roots, you are likely to have some significant advantages under the Affordable Care Act. Ashley, I know you've been seeing this play out in front of you. I was shocked by what you mentioned, the people getting health care insurance with no deductible for 23 cents a month. That was just incredible.
You know, it's really great to see those stories and just see how happy people are. You know, sometimes we get done with these meetings and or enrolling them, and they leave with tears running down their faces, just overjoyed that they now have this coverage, or giving us the biggest hugs. And that's really what makes it worth it, is to see these individuals who have wanted coverage for so long and now have that opportunity.
Well, that's just tremendous. Now, you've seen some other things that have played out just since ACA rolled out among the folks that you help there in the Detroit area. Can you tell us some other encouraging stories?
Yeah, we had another individual that came through and enrolled in insurance, and they got a really great plan. I don't remember how much it was, but it was fairly low cost, and they went on vacation, actually up in Canada, and slipped and fell on the ice and broke their arm. This was right before January 1st, and so they're in Canada and, you know, trying to figure out how they're going to get care. They find out they need surgery and talk to the doctors up there, and they have to pay thousands of dollars in cash.
Wow.
And then this individual remembers that they signed up for insurance under the marketplace, and then they also remembered the little piece of information that we provided through some of our education sessions, that there's no such thing as pre-existing conditions. So even though this fall happened before January 1st, they were able to come back to the U.S. after January 1st, get the surgery. And that's one of the biggest things I think about the Affordable Care Act, is because it does take away that pre-existing conditions criteria. So it doesn't matter what illnesses or what problems you're dealing with before you get that insurance, it's still going to be covered once you have your insurance.
Wow, so that is really a huge change, isn't it? Because in the old days, someone would say, well, you know, I think I've got cancer. I better not get it checked out because I got to get health insurance first. I don't want to have this diagnosis. Well, those kind of worries should be laid to rest.
Right. Yeah, and you know, it was just something that kind of clicked in their head at the last moment, and they remembered that little piece from all of the education that we provided to them.
That's excellent. So not only are you helping people get connected, you actually help people fill out forms, too?
Yeah, we help people fill out the exemption forms. We also help with the appeal process. If, for instance, they did the application and they felt like they're tax credits weren't high enough or something happened that they want to appeal, we help with that as well. And we, you know, we get a lot of phone calls daily with just questions from people who are trying to, you know, do the applications on their own, and we can help a little bit over the phone. Or people email us with questions pretty regularly as well.
So now, Ashley, there's a number of urban health centers throughout the country that are funded, at least in part, by Indian Health Service, correct?
Yes.
Now, I know many people who are listening, they're saying, wow, you guys there in the Detroit area really provide some great services. Are you unusual in the range of services that you offer, or would this be pretty typical in many of the urban centers?
I would say it's pretty typical. There are other urban centers, especially in those cities that have a little bit higher population of American Indian Alaska Natives, that actually provide more services than we do. Some of the clinics have pharmacies and dental and some of the resources that we don't provide here. So it kind of depends on the facility. Some of the facilities only see IHS-eligible clients. Others are open to the public. So you do have a little bit of variance throughout all the different clinics.
Well, let's take a scenario that's probably fairly common among my listeners on American Indian Living, and that is someone is tuning in right now. They are Native American. Perhaps they're members of a tribe that is not federally recognized. For example, about a year ago, I was working some with the Lumbee Nation in North Carolina. So a tribe, significant population, but not federally recognized. What implications does that have? Let's say someone from Lumberton, North Carolina, moved to the Detroit area, and they show up at your clinic. What's going to happen?
Fortunately for them, they are actually, the Lumbees specifically, are actually IHS eligible because they're kind of in that unique category of being in the middle of not being recognized and being recognized. So they kind of have their own special category. We also serve, if there's Michigan state recognized tribes, we can serve them here in the Detroit area as well. So as an urban clinic, we can serve the state-recognized tribal members from the state that we're residing in. So there is a little bit more flexibility when it comes to the urban clinic, but there still are a lot of restrictions about who we can serve for free.
Mm-hmm.
So for instance, I mentioned that we serve non-natives as well, but we also serve natives who don't necessarily fit into the IHS category.
Okay.
We're just not able to provide them free care. So if they have insurance, we bill it, or we put them on sliding fee scale and payment plans.
Let's talk about maybe another tribal background, not federally recognized, not Michigan State recognized. So we got the picture with your clinic. You can't offer them free services, correct?
Right.
But how about through the Affordable Care Act? Are the special benefits with the no deductibles and all, is that again tied to having that IHS benefit?
It's tied to being federally recognized, so it's a little bit even stricter than IHS. Indian Health Services will provide coverage to descendants to the second degree, meaning that if your grandparent was enrolled and you can show, birth certificates and linkages to that grandparent, you can be seen through Indian Health Services. And those people are also still exempt from having to have insurance through the Affordable Care Act, but they don't get the special benefits of the special enrollment periods and the no copays or deductibles.
Okay.
It can be really, confusing with all of these different definitions of natives. We have people that they're native for this purpose and not native for that. And it can be really discouraging for individuals as well, trying to figure out where they really fit in this whole picture.
And so thus the kind of services that you offer, it's not only practical clinical and counseling and exercise services, but it sounds like a lot of what you do would probably come under the umbrella of social work.
Yeah, we help people with a lot of different things, including housing and food assistance and a lot of different programs, and really try to be that linkage to other services in the community as well.
So Ashley, let's talk to the person who is listening to the show. A lot of people have been getting encouraged. They said, wow, I didn't realize that there were some benefits out there for me that I'm not taking advantage of. So some people need to be enrolling in the Affordable Care Act who maybe said, well, I'm exempt. I don't need to worry about it. They're hopefully taking a second look. But there are some others who may be saying, well, this is just some more bad news because I don't think I fit any of these categories, even though I'm of Native descent. I don't have IHS benefits. I'm not a member of a federally recognized tribe. Is there some encouraging messages you would give to someone like that at this juncture in time?
Yeah, I mean, I still think that, you know, the Affordable Care Act still provides a lot of opportunities for individuals like that. We've seen a lot of them come through and get enrolled in insurance here. For instance, I helped a part-time worker last month, and he was non-native.
Mm-hmm.
He worked part-time at a retail store, and we were able to get him a pretty decent health plan for about $60 a month.
Wow.
While that may seem expensive for some people, he was paying almost $80 a month through his work for catastrophic care and didn't even know that it was just catastrophic care and that it didn't really cover everything.
Right.
So a lot of people are really getting surprised by the fact that there are, you know, cheaper options available for them.
So really, it behooves everyone to look into it. And I know there's been a lot of disappointment. I know a lot of people, especially toward the end of 2013, felt frustrated that they couldn't get through some of the internet sites. And there was a lot of bad press that went out. I think this discouraged a lot of people. But things seem to be going pretty smoothly at this point. Is that right?
And, you know, we were among that group of really being probably the most disappointed in that, you know, that very first day that the website opened, we had full appointments that day for people to come in and register. So we really felt that frustration along with people as well in trying to help people get enrolled and having issues with the system. You know, there still are small glitches that come up here and there, but for the most part, it's really easy to get through the application. If you're, you know, pretty computer savvy, you can go through the website yourself. But there's also, in all of the states, a lot of organizations and individuals who are out there to help people enroll, because it can be really confusing, especially when you get to the section of choosing a health insurance plan.
Mm.
For instance, here in Detroit, when people sign up, they have like over 60 plans to choose from.
Wow.
And so it can be really confusing about where do I even start? And if they've never had insurance before, you know, they may not know what co-insurance is and deductibles and co-pays or how to figure out what hospitals are covered under each of the plans or which plans cover, you know, vision exams and which ones don't. And so we really encourage people to utilize, you know, these community organizations that have been trained to help and, you know, knowing that you don't have to go through the application completely by yourself. It's still an option, but there are a lot of resources available out there for everyone.
Now, you have people at your organization that you identify as navigators. Is that a term that's being expressly used to refer to these individuals who help with the ACA enrollment?
Yeah, so the navigators, we are funded by CMS. So like, for instance, in Michigan, there was four organizations that were funded. But they also have what they call certified application counselors.
Mm-hmm.
And those are people who are not funded to provide enrollment but have gone through the process of being trained to provide those services. Also, depending on the state, some of the states, they completely run the entire marketplace on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And so they may have a few different terms that could describe the individuals who are trained to help them as well.
So how would someone find out who might be available in their area who could help them with an application?
So one of the greatest resources is the healthcare.gov website. You can actually go in there, put in your zip code, and get a whole list of all the organizations and clinics that are available there to help you. You can also call their 1-800 number and get that assistance as well. And then in, you know, different cities, for instance, here in Detroit, they just published a list in the newspaper on Sunday.
Tremendous, Ashley. Healthcare.gov. We have to step away again just for our final break in today's edition of American Indian Living. Ashley's got some more great information that will close out the show. You want to stay tuned for that final segment of American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We'll be right back with you. Don't go away.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
Today's American Indian Living radio program is sponsored in part by Wimar Center of Health and Education. Located in the foothills of Northern California's Sierra Mountains, Wimar is home to the residential New Start Lifestyle Program that helps people of all races address diabetes, heart disease, obesity, and related conditions. To further assist Native Americans with their health, Wimar produces a wealth of free resources that can be accessed on their website at newstartclub.com. To learn more about how Wimar can change your life, you can call 1-800-525-9192. The number again is 1-800-525-9192. Or you can access them on the web at newstartclub.com. Again, that's newstartclub.com.
With nerves of steel, with incomparable courage, with fierce determination, with uncompromising resolve, the men and women of the United States Armed Forces go forth. And wherever and whenever they go, the USO will be there to touch their spirit, to comfort them, to remind them, to simply and heartfully thank them for the extraordinary gift they give us all. Until every brow is soothed and every hand is held, until every battle's won and every song is sung, until everyone comes home. Find out more about the USO and how you can help at uso.org.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE, 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
You're back with Dr. David DeRose, my guest, Ashley Tuomi. Ashley is actually helping us navigate through this whole both encouraging and challenging Affordable Care Act. She's the Executive Director of American Indian Health and Family Services in the Detroit area. And you've been very gracious not only on the show to give us some good information, but also to be willing to help out for those who may be outside the Detroit area and are getting confused. You gave us a general website before we stepped away for our break. Can you give us the general federal website once more, please, Ashley?
Yeah, so it's www.healthcare.gov. And that's a website where you can go to actually apply for your health coverage. But there's a lot of other great information on there. They provide a lot of answers to definitions of terms. And there's actually a section where you can put in some basic information like your age, your income, and the county that you live in, and see what the plans are before you actually apply. And so we've really been pushing that for people who are a little bit unsure about giving all of their information and really just want to see, you know, about how much it's going to cost them. So that's a really great opportunity that exists on their website. And as we mentioned earlier, you can also go on there to find organizations that can provide you with one-on-one assistance.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really great website for individuals to visit.
Now, Ashley, for those that may not be easily able to access the Internet, there is an 800 number as well, isn't there?
Yes, it's 1-800-318-2596. They can use that number also to apply over the phone, and they can use that number to also get the addresses or phone numbers of local organizations that can help them as well.
Okay, so they can either go to that website, which is just healthcare.gov?
Correct.
Or 1-800-318-2596. Have I got that?
Yes.
And does that spell something out, or is it just a number that you've got to take down?
It's just a number.
Okay. Well, let's give it one more time. Would you please for us, Ashley?
Yeah. So it's 1-800-318-2596.
Now, you said on the website, if someone does go there, there's a lot of those definitions that may confuse people who've never had health insurance. Can you tell us some of the more confusing ones that you're having to explain to people? Maybe walk our listeners through those so that might save them a little bit of time when they go online or make that 800 number call?
Yes, definitely. Some of the terms that, you know, really have to pay attention to, especially when looking at the different plans, obviously you have your premium, and that's going to be the amount that you pay monthly. And then there's going to be other costs associated, such as a deductible. What that deductible is an amount of money that you have to pay out of pocket before your insurance will start covering specific things.
Mm-hmm.
And that deductible can, you know, range anywhere from $0 all the way up to $10,000 on some of those plans. And you also have to really look at the specifics on the plans, because one plan, you know, may have the same exact deductible, but their deductible applies to an emergency room or lab work, where the other plan might have the same exact deductible number, but it doesn't apply to some of those things. So you really have to look at some of those details. The other common term is copays.
Mm-hmm.
And the copays, again, are another out-of-pocket cost that you're going to pay per visit. So especially when you go to a primary care doctor or to a specialty doctor, or even with your prescriptions, you have a small amount of money that you're going to have to pay every time you go. The next common term on there is co-insurance. For instance, some of the plans say that for an emergency room visit or for a hospital stay, you have to pay 20% after meeting your deductible. So that means you have to pay your deductible and then 20% of the overall cost of that visit. So that's another additional out-of-pocket cost. One other thing to look at with those plans is that all of those plans have a maximum out-of-pocket cost per year.
Mm-hmm.
And that, so for instance, if that out-of-pocket maximum is $750, you will never pay more than $750 per year. Now, that doesn't include your premium, but it includes all those things like copays, deductibles, and coinsurance.
Oh, okay. So the out-of-pocket ceiling includes not just the coinsurance, the amount that you're paying in addition to what the insurance covered, but it actually includes those deductibles as well.
Yep, and the copay.
Okay, so if someone's ceiling on their deductible was, say, $1,000, they walk into the emergency room and have a bill of $1,100, they're going to pay that first $1,000 out of their pocket.
Some of the plans don't, their deductibles don't apply to things like an emergency room. It may just say you owe $100 straight across the board, where the next plan will say you have to pay your deductible for in order to get emergency room care. So you would have to pay out of pocket up to your deductible amount before they would cover any part of that visit. So that's why it's really important when they're looking at each of the different insurance options that they pay attention to those details, because not all the plans will charge you a deductible for things like an emergency room. I know some of the plans here in Detroit charge you like $100 or $150 out of pocket for the emergency room, and then they'll cover the rest.
Now, aren't there some things that are supposed to be free with nothing out of pocket for everyone who's enrolled?
Yep, so that's all of your preventative care. So that really comes again to, you know, all of your cancer screenings, anything that you would consider as a preventative care visit. So your wellness visits, your well child checks for your children, any of those that you would consider as a wellness visit don't have copays or deductibles. And that even includes some of the prescriptions. For instance, I know that, you know, birth control is now free without copays or deductibles, as long as you don't have, you know, a plan that's not on the, or a prescription that's not on the formulary.
And is it the same with immunizations as well?
Yep, immunizations are covered as well. So anything that you would consider as a preventative versus, you know, a sick visit is not going to have that copay or deductible.
So let's talk again to those who may be in a situation that seems to be working pretty well for them. Let's say they live on a reservation. They're close to an Indian Health Service hospital. They've got a good clinic. Maybe it's a tribally run clinic. Maybe it's an IHS run clinic. Are these some of the people that you would say if they're happy with their medical service options, they may just want to file an exemption form?
I mean, it's definitely an option, but we really are encouraging people to at least go into it and look and see what's optional for you, what's available. Because if you do get insurance and you can't afford some of these plans, your IHS clinic or your tribal clinic can then bill your insurance and bring in more revenue to your facility and increase the number of services that they provide to your community. So there's a lot of things that really would help these tribal clinics because they're not funded at full capacity. And especially with, you know, the contract health service dollars, we know in a lot of places they run out before the year is over. Mm-hmm. So having this insurance really helps out in those cases. You know, so a lot of the tribes are really pushing for people to try to get into the marketplace if they can afford it. And I know some tribes are even looking at paying the actual cost for insurance for their tribal members.
Okay, because it's actually that advantageous as far as the bottom line for the whole tribe.
Yes, it really helps the tribe to be able to bill for those services and to be able to rely less on those contract health service dollars and really save them for the really expensive cases.
Well, Ashley, the message that's coming through to me is that if you're a Native American and have not taken advantage of the opportunities that are out there with the Affordable Care Act, it really would likely help you and your tribe as well to see if there's some reasonable enrollment options through the ACA website. Am I hearing you right?
Correct, yeah. And we tell people, you know, come in, check it out, see what's available. If you don't like it, then you can walk away and file your exemption form.
Great message. Sounds like everybody should, if they can't navigate that process themselves, be hooking up with someone in their area and helping them go through that. Can you help us one more time, Ashley, with the contact information for the government website and phone number?
Yep. So their website is www.healthcare.gov, and the phone number is 1-800-318-2596.
Okay, again, healthcare.gov, and that 800 number, 1-800-318-2596. Well, Ashley, as it usually is the case, our time has slipped away from us all too quickly, but I sure thank you and your group there working in the Detroit area for taking time out of your collective schedules and helping us on today's edition of American Indian Living.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well, for all of us at American Indian Living, I'm Dr. David DeRose. Hopefully today's show has opened your eyes to some things that can help you and can help your tribe as far as getting better health services, more affordable for everyone. For all of us at American Indian Living, I'm Dr. David DeRose, wishing you the very best of health.
This is Life Talk Radio.